Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Easter Sunday morning service here at Grace Missionary Church. This is Resurrection Day. Jesus is alive. Death has lost its victory, and the grave has been denied. Jesus lives forever. He is alive. He is the Alpha and Omega. The first and last is He. The curse of sin is broken, and we have perfect liberty. The Lamb of God has risen. He is alive. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Please bow our heads as we pray. Our Heavenly Father and our God, we are here in your presence with hearts of thanksgiving, with our love and adoration. And Lord, help us to give back to you reverence, obedience, and to seek your will with each step we take, each faltering step. And may our prayer be set before you like sweet incense. We give you thanks in expectation of your presence in each and every home, even as we celebrate the resurrection of your Son and our risen Lord, whose death, burial, and resurrection has bought us salvation and the hope of an eternity with you. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our opening hymn, Christ Arose. And can we lift our voices and sing along with the music? Sister Angela Rosley will now come with a praise song, Worthy is the Lamb, after which Prayer will be offered by Sister Marcia Lynn Cook.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands, washed me in your cleansing. Your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. We crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. God, the treasure of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the crucified.
Heavenly Father, we come before you on this Resurrection Sunday. Father, we are grateful to you for sending your Son Jesus Christ to suffer and die for our sins. Thank you for such expression of your love towards us. We honor you and give praise to you for all that you have done for us and continue to do. Forgive us where we have taken your love and your many provisions for us for granted. We pray that as our potter, Father, you would mold us and make us according to your will. Help us to yield ourselves to you as you continue to search us and try us. May we be filled with your Spirit, Lord Jesus, so that others may see through our works that you are living through us. Father God, we bring before you now our country and the world on a whole. Father God, you see the ravages of the pandemic, the COVID-19, Lord, and the chaos it's causing in our world. But Father God, we know you're still in charge, you're sovereign, and you have allowed this, Lord. And as your word says, in everything give thanks. So we give you thanks, Lord, for all that you're going to do through this. Father God, we pray for our leaders, Lord God, in government, in commerce, in education, in all the various sectors, Lord God. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will give them wisdom, godly wisdom, Lord Jesus. Provide persons to give godly counsel, and may they be responsive to this counsel, Lord God. We bring before you those who have lost loved ones all over the world, Lord, and in our country. We pray that you will give them peace, God. You will remember them as they mourn, Lord Jesus. Give them hope and a future. And we pray you will draw them to you through all that is happening. Father God, remember those who are on the front line, or health workers, or security forces, Lord Jesus. Father God, I pray you'll protect them, you'll keep them safe, you will fill them with your love and your power, especially those who know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, give them words of comfort to those who are sick, Lord Jesus. Give them wise counsel as how to deal with the various illnesses that are presented before them, Lord Jesus Christ. Let them know that you are completely in charge, and they are able to lean on you and to trust you in every way. Father God, remember those in our congregation and in our country who are sick, Lord. Father God, touch them even now. Those who mourn, Lord God, the loss of loved ones, be with them, comfort them. Be with them in this time, Lord God. And Father, as we celebrate your resurrection, God, and we have a hope, Lord Jesus, for meeting you again, Lord God, I pray that you will let this hope rise fresh among us, Lord God, so that we will go forth each day just trusting you, honoring you, and glorify your name. We give you all praise, honor, and glory, Lord, at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
We now welcome Sister Angela Rosely with another song. Was it a morning like this?
Was it a morning like this when the sun still hid from Jerusalem and Mary rose from her bed to tend the Lord she thought was dead? Was it a morning like this when Mary walked down from Jerusalem and two angels stood at the tomb, bearers of news she would hear soon? Did the grass sing? Did the earth rejoice to feel you again? Over and over, like a trumpet underground, did the earth seem to pop? He is risen. Jerusalem. And as they race towards the tomb, beneath their feet was there a tomb. Did the grass sing? Did the earth rejoice to feel you again? Over and over, like a trumpet underground, did the earth seem to pound, he is risen. Over and over, in a never-ending round, he is risen. Alleluia, alleluia. Over and over, like a trumpet underground, did the earth seem to pound, he is risen. Was it a morning like this when my Lord looked out on Jerusalem? He is risen, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks to our sisters for leading us in song and prayer. Lord, as your messenger, Reverend Richard Beckford, brings to us your word. We pray for your anointing to be poured out in him, and for each word to touch each heart. May we then be receptive to your word of truth. Welcome, Reverend Beckford.
Good morning, all. Good morning, friends, brothers and sisters in the Lord, and those who are not members of the Lord's family. We're hoping that will change at the end of our broadcast this morning. Good morning to you all. Close to 2,000 years ago, something shocked the world. An event took place that shook the very core of humanity. Then, and even now. And it was the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The tomb was visited by his disciples. Firstly, by his female disciples, and secondly, by his male disciples. And when they saw this tomb, the Lord Jesus, who was crucified on Friday, was no longer in the tomb. And my friends, that reality changed that community forever. It impacted them greatly, and it has impacted us as well. We want to take our reflections from that community that is highlighted in the book of Acts. The early church is the resurrected, the first resurrected community that we find in the Bible. And we want to take from them some nuggets as to how we can face hardship in the strength of the Lord. And so this is part two of our series that we started last week. We want to go specifically to the story of our brother Stephen. His story is recorded by Luke in the book of Acts, chapter 7, but it begins in chapter 6. And this morning we want to read in chapter 7, verses 54 to 60, to get the latter part of Stephen's experience. And I'm reading from the New International Version. When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this time, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Last week in our reflection on facing hardships in the strength of the Lord, we looked at the life of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we were told by the Holy Spirit, I believe, that Jesus faced his hardship by 1, praying to the Father, 2, he cried out for help, and then he challenged those around him to not to be ignorant to the plight of those who suffer, but to be sensitive to their plight. And we were told by the Spirit that as Jesus demonstrated those characteristics in a hard time, his Heavenly Father, prepared him for the cross. And in preparing him for the cross, he provided supernatural strength, which caused Jesus to produce in a difficult moment. This week, this Easter Sunday, we will observe the life of Stephen, a member of the early church resurrected community. And he is recorded as the first Christian martyr. Martyr is another word for one who is killed for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we want to glean some nuggets, helpful nuggets, to aid us, those of us who are believers in Christ, those who do not yet know Christ. We want to gain some nuggets from Stephen that will help us to face, endure, and overcome our hardships, our suffering in the strength of the Lord. And the present hardship that we face, the globe continue to face, is that of COVID-19. And as believers, non-believers, we all are facing this particular crisis. But I believe the Holy Spirit will use the life of Stephen this morning to help us to confront well this malady that is upon the globe. When we look at the story of Stephen, Stephen is recorded in chapter 6 as one of the 7 chosen to care for the widows. Chapter 6, that is, of the book of Acts. And he's given a specific task, a specific ministry to wait on tables. And this wasn't a mediocre ministry. This was a ministry position in response to a conflict. Stephen was charged with the responsibility of caring for those widows. And the conflict that it resolved was between Grecian Jews and Aramaic-speaking Jews. In verse 8, though, Stephen is described as a man who is full of God's grace and power, and he did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. But my brothers and sisters, as we read further in verse 9 to verses 14, Stephen faced opposition. Here's what Luke says. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Sicily and Asia. These men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We have heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God." So what they did, they stirred the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen, they grabbed him and brought him before the Sanhedrin, before the courts. They produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stopped speaking against the holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us." My friends, Stephen's moment of hardship came. Stephen's moment of danger loomed. Death knocked on his door. But Stephen's countenance described in verse 15, it says, all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like that of an angel. His countenance showed something. It demonstrated to us that he was prepared for this hour of darkness. His response in chapter 7, his monologue in chapter 7 is an encouragement. It is also a challenge to the resurrected church. It's also a challenge to those who are not yet members of the resurrected church. It's a challenge and an encouragement to us as to how we ought to face difficult times. So the question is, how did he do it? And how can we do the same? The first helpful nugget that we take from Stephen's story is this. Stephen gazed into his past to find inspiration for the present hardship. Yes, my friends, Stephen looked back. And the question is, what did he look back at? Well, Stephen reminded the present persecutors that what they were doing now, their evil that they were executing now, was nothing new, because their ancestors did the same thing to the prophets and the men of old. And in chapter 7, 1 to 53, Stephen recalls the Jewish history, specifically up until the point of David. And in his recollection of history, it wasn't just mere history for Stephen. He was deliberate in pointing to aspects of his history that had direct parallels with his current reality. When you look at chapter 7, 9 to 10, Stephen says, because the patriarchs were jealous of Joseph, they sold him as a slave into Egypt. But God was with Joseph in this moment of hardship, and God rescued him from all his troubles. He gave Joseph wisdom and enabled him to gain the goodwill of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So he made him ruler over Egypt and all his palace. What Stephen was saying to the scribe is that my ancestor, your ancestor Joseph, experienced a hard time like what I'm experiencing now. But God in the midst of his hardship gave him strength. Stephen continued in verse 35, where he says, this is the same Moses whom they had rejected with the words, who made you ruler and judge over us? He was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God himself through the angel who appeared to him in the bush. Stephen goes on in verse 37. This is that Moses who told the Israelites, God will send you a prophet like me from your own people. He was in the congregation in the desert with our fathers and with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai, and he received the living words to pass on to us. It was the same Moses, he said in verse 39, but our fathers refused to obey this Moses. Instead, they rejected him, and in their hearts, they turned back to Egypt. Stephen was saying to them, just as how Moses was rejected, you are rejecting me now in this moment of hardship. But he wasn't done with them with the history. Connecting his history with his current reality, he looked at the same persecutors, these hostile folks, and he said to them in verse 51, you stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You have received the law that was put into effect through angels, but you have not obeyed it. Stephen did something tremendous. What a lesson to us. Hallelujah. What a lesson to the body of Christ today and those who are not a part of this body. What a lesson to us. Stephen connected his current reality with that of his ancestors and reminded his listeners of God's activity during similar difficult moments. My friends, let us look back this morning at a few historical moments where our spiritual ancestors experienced hardship, but they faced it head on. They tackled that Goliath in the strength of the Lord. And I want to start with the early church. The early church of which Stephen was a part. They were persecuted. The early church came under tremendous pressure from not only their Jewish brothers and sisters, but they came under pressure, severe persecution from the Roman government. They were persecuted. They were thrown in fire. They were fed to lions. They were tortured. And what it did to this community is that it engendered creativity. Because even though they had the synagogue that they went to on the Sabbath to worship, they needed a place to worship and celebrate the resurrection on the first day of the week. And the early church, hallelujah, getting the genius of the Holy Spirit, decided to meet in their homes. They were forced underground, but they met together in their homes. Their format of worship was disrupted. They were used to the buildings of the synagogues. They were used to the main temple. They were used to that. But no, because of persecution, because of this hardship, our spiritual ancestors had to, as we would say in Jamaica, wheel and come again. They had to, as we would say in Jamaica again, they would have to take the hand and turn fashion. They had to make adjustments. And they adjusted by starting to meet, not in a building, but they met in their homes. The crisis engendered creativity in a difficult moment. What else can we learn from a spiritual community? We learn also from our brother, the great reformer, Martin Luther, a spiritual ancestor. And as we learn from Martin Luther, I'm reminded of an article I read recently, written by Emmy Yang. She wrote this article in Christianity Today. And the title of the article was, What Martin Luther Teaches Us About Coronavirus. And Emmy Yang in this article, you know, reminds us of the Great Plague, as it was known, or it was known by other names as the Pestilence, or the Great Bubonic Plague, or the Black Death, which swept across Europe in the 1300s, around 1347, there about to 1353. This plague wreaked havoc on Europe and also in Asia. And in Europe, more than 20 million people died. A third of the continent's population. And Emmy Yang reminds us that in 1527, thereabout, the plague, which raised its head in the 1300s, again came back in 1527 at the time when Martin Luther was alive. It re-emerged in Luther's own town of Wittenberg, Germany, and the surrounding cities. And she said that in light of this, what Luther did, he wrote a letter to respond to the question posed to him. As a theologian, as a churchman, you know, questions were thrown at him because people tried to make sense of difficult moments. And a question that they posed to Luther was at the time, is it faithful to flee from this epidemic? And Luther wrote a letter to respond to this question. And the title of his letter was, Whether One May Flee from a Deadly Plague. And you can find that letter, Google it, and gain inspiration from it. But Emmy Yang in her article said what Luther did in this letter is that he called for Christians to see opportunities to tend to the sick as tending Christ. She said, out of love for God, Luther states, emerges the practice of love for neighbor. She continues, however, while encouraging care in the midst of the deadly plague, Luther encouraged readers not to expose themselves recklessly to danger. His letter, she says, constantly straddles two competing goods, knowing the sanctity of one's own life and knowing the sanctity of those in need. What struck me about Emmy Yang's article, though, brothers and sisters, my friends, what struck me about it is the connection that she made with the reformer Martin Luther and a pastor from Wuhan, China. And she states, in an open letter calling for prayer from Christians from around the globe, an anonymous Wuhan pastor affirms. And here's what he says. What a statement. Christ's peace is not to remove us from disaster and death because Christ has already overcome these things. What a thought on this Resurrection Sunday. Christ's peace is not to remove us from disaster and death because Christ has already overcome these things. Emmy Yang says both Luther and the Wuhan pastor express the reality of suffering, but recognize that death and suffering do not have the final word. And my friends, we can agree with Luther. We can agree with the Wuhan pastor. We can agree with our spiritual ancestors in the early church who faced death. We can agree with Stephen. We agree with our Lord Jesus. Suffering and death do not have the final say, because on this Resurrection Sunday, we remember that what Christ did on Calvary, culminating on the third day when he rose, has given to us overcoming power. My friends, as we look back like Stephen on our spiritual ancestors, we can even look back at our biological ancestors who experienced hardship at the hands of the slave masters, and our biological ancestors during the enslavement period. They endured hardship. They resisted evil. And because of them, we have emancipation, God working through them. They overcame the hardship. As we look back this morning, in order to be inspired in our current reality, it helps us to, number one, track God's faithfulness in difficult times. It helps us to track God's faithfulness in difficult times. We can say, look what the Lord has done. God has been faithful even when we have been faithless. In looking back, it helps us to track the traits of our ancestors that resulted in them enduring and overcoming hardships. And it also helps us, number three, not to become alarmist as many are today, or not to become overwhelmed with the current reality. The modern world has never seen anything like COVID-19, but we are reminded when we look back at our history that our ancestors, spiritual, biological ancestors, that they have experienced and they did experience similar calamities, plagues, disasters, natural and man-made wars. They experienced it all. We have been there before. It's different for us. We don't know what it's like. But our ancestors, we can learn from them. And we must revisit their chronicles to aid us in confronting our current crisis. Stephen gazed backward in order to connect his current reality with past realities. And it gave him strength in the moment. Stephen not only gazed backward, but he gazed upward. In the midst of his torture and hardship, Stephen turned his gaze on the Holy Trinity. Look at verses 55 and 56 of our passage. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up. Just retelling his story, looking back, he now looks up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. As Stephen gazed upward, he saw the authority of God and the victory of God. Hallelujah. As he gazed up, what Stephen saw was the resurrected Lord. Isn't the Lord on the cross anymore? This was the resurrected Jesus that he fixed his gaze on. As I reflect on Stephen's gaze heavenly, I'm reminded of the hymn, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." And this hymn says, the first stanza says to us, "O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." My brothers, sisters, friends, those of us of the believing community, what a privilege it is to look upon our Lord, our resurrected Lord. And those who do not yet know Jesus, the charge, the challenge, the clarion call to you this morning is, we have a resurrected Lord that when you fix your gaze upon him, when you say, "Lord Jesus, may I be yours forever," it will help us in the dark moments. The gaze by Stephen stilled the darkness around him. If there's any time, my friends, we need to gaze heavenly, it is now. It will still the darkness. This is where we rest in the hand of the potter, knowing that his power is made perfect in our weakness. Here's what our brother Paul says as he gazed upon Jesus in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10. Here's what he says to us. Therefore, but he said to me, three times in verse 8, says back up, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take the thorn away from me. A messenger was sent to Paul to torment him. And he said, I prayed three times, but the Lord responded as I gazed upon him, Paul said. The Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight. What a shocking statement. But here's a man whose gaze is fixed on Jesus, and he can now say, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. I delight in it. For Paul says, when I am weak, because of the power of Christ, then I am strong. My friends, are you weak this morning? Are you not managing well the difficulty? Are you not managing well this moment of COVID? Well, Stephen gazed upon the Lord. Paul gazed upon the Lord. And the challenge to us this morning is to do the same. How do we gaze heavenly? How do we gaze heavenly? Well, I suggest we get away from the noise. There's so much noise today. Noise on social media. Noise through the news media. And indeed, you must keep in the loop. Stay indeed in touch with what's happening. But we need to find time to read. We need to find time to reflect on the scriptures. We need to find time to practice the spiritual disciplines, to worship, to pray, and so forth. We need to find time. Gaze upon our Lord. So I challenge you this week, this Easter Sunday, get away from the noise. Take some time away from the social media. Take some time away from some of the series that you are watching. And let us gaze upon Christ. Because it is when we are still, we will then know that he indeed is God. An upward gaze on the Trinity, it brings stillness. Stillness in the midst of the chaos. If you look at verse 59 of Acts the 7th, here's what Stephen says, what Luke says was happening to Stephen. He said, while they were stoning him, wow, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And this is a similar posture that Jesus took in Luke 23 verse 46. Luke is making the connection between Jesus and Stephen. A similar posture where on the cross he said, Lord, I commit my spirit into your hands. In the midst of a hard time, these men, our spiritual ancestors, because of their gaze upon the Heavenly Father, they were able to withstand the onslaughts of the moment. An upward gaze on the Trinity brings stillness in the midst of chaos. Stephen gazed backward on his ancestors. He gazed upward on the victorious, resurrected Lord. And what this did, it helped him to even gaze outward. Yes, Stephen was so heavenly minded that he was able to manifest earthly good. He was not like what we would say heavenly minded with no earthly good. Absolutely the contrary. His gaze upon the Lord helped him to look at humanity through the divine lenses. You look at verse 60 of chapter 7. It says, he fell on his knees, beaten, stoned, bruised, broken. But he fell on his knees and he cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. That's the power of Jesus Christ. How in the midst of hostility, a toxic environment, your enemies have gotten one upon you, you can say, Lord, Forgive them? Don't hold it against them? My friends, only Jesus Christ can make us respond to difficult moments in that way. No human effort, no human element can make us do that. Only the strength of the Lord. Interestingly, in Luke, again, 23 verse 34, Jesus said something similar. Again on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. My friends, what Luke did was to show us that Christ did it, but it was not restricted to only Christ. His followers can do the same. And Stephen did it. Luke displays Christ in Stephen in a difficult moment. We can see our world through the lens of Christ when we gaze upward. And when we do that, it helps us to demonstrate his graces to a broken world. I believe in this hour of darkness, an essential grace that we need to demonstrate as believers is hope. We need to demonstrate hope. We need to be saying it, preaching it, living it, that in the midst of crisis, we have hope. This is not the end story. This is not it. This is not the end for us. But because of the resurrection of Christ, we have a bright future ahead of us. It may not be in this world, but I certainly guarantee you it will be in the world to come. If you do not know Christ, you can get that hope. It's a supernatural view of reality now and in the future. My friends, as we close, we are reminded by our brother Stephen that as we face difficult periods, as we face hardships, we can gain the strength of the Lord by looking back, looking at our spiritual ancestors and how they responded to their crisis. We can look back at God's faithfulness. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. Healed my mind. He saved me just in time. God can heal our broken world. He's faithful. He looked back, but he also looked upward. He fixed his eyes on the resurrected Lord. We need to look to our Lord. Gaze on him. Fix on him. In this difficult moment, so that when we gaze on him, we can look outward, we can demonstrate the resurrection power to a broken world. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, my friends who are not yet members of the body of Jesus Christ, we indeed are living in a difficult, hard time. But the Holy Spirit has used this morning the life of a saint, our brother Stephen, to remind us that we can endure, we can face this time in the strength of our Lord. And so, if you do not yet know our Lord Jesus Christ as Lord, and as Savior, if you have not yet surrendered your life to him, I encourage you, give it some thought. Consider coming on his side so that you can weather this storm well. And for those who are believers who are struggling with the time, I encourage you to look back, to look up, and to look outward. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your words to us. Thank you for the encouragement that we will not be overwhelmed by the flood that is presently overwhelming the world because of the resurrected power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The person, Lord, I pray, who does not yet know you as Lord, as Savior, who has not yet accepted the eternal gift of salvation, I commit that individual to you right now. As they wrestle with giving their lives to you, I pray that they will surrender to the Holy Spirit. They will now fix their gaze eternally on you. And they will say, yes, I will follow you, Jesus, so that you can give me strength. And not only strength in this hard moment, but I can one day live eternally with you. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are also wrestling with this moment. Help us, O Lord, to look back at our ancestors, gain strength from them, to keep looking at you, not to yield to the temptation to be distracted in this hour, but may we be fixed on you, mind, body, and soul. And as we do so, help us to look through your eyes upon our brothers and sisters, upon our friends, neighbors, who are not well during this moment, or who may need to see a demonstration of your graces. Help us to do so. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Now for the announcements. Please remember to continue to be in much prayer for our sister Etlyn Atkins, who is still at the University Hospital. Prayers are also requested for Mr. Homer Gordon, Sister Michelle Dinnell's cousin in New York, who is recovering from the coronavirus. Also, remember those persons on the sick and the shut-in list. Our condolences go out to the following families: to Deacon Loy Evans and family on the passing of a cousin in the United Kingdom as a result of the coronavirus; to Sister Violet McNaughton and family on the passing of her brother-in-law, Mr. Vincent Barrett, on March 14, 2020; to Sister Sandra Buckner-Jones on the passing of her nephew, Mr. Damian Buckner, on March 26, 2020. Our prayers are with the families at this time. Our Bible studies continue throughout the month of April via Zoom each Wednesday at 7 p.m. with Reverend Richard Beckford. Information on how to join these studies is provided by email and posted in the various WhatsApp groups. Happy birthday and anniversary to all those persons celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week. We continue to remind everyone to take all the necessary precautions issued by the Ministry of Health during this pandemic and stay safe. Our final hymn is Crown Hymn. We now close this worship service with the benediction. May the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you, and remain with you always. Amen. God's richest blessings to you all.